This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will talk a bit about Super Bowl 47 coming Sunday in New Orleans at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens squaring off, with 49ers a 3.5 point favorite. The average cost for a 30-second spot, $3.8 million. We'll talk about this with LSU journalism professor Jensen Moore. Also on the show, we are scheduled to hear from the chair of the Louisiana Republican Party, Roger Villery, who will have some thoughts about Governor Jindal's quest for the presidency and perhaps Senator Vitter's bid for the state house. All this, now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Our numbers are 877-217-5757, toll-free. And you may reach us via email at inkstershow@wrkf.org. The local line is 297-5633. Our guest is Roger Villery, chair of the Louisiana Republican Party, and recently named the vice chairman of the Republican National Committee. Good morning to you, Roger Villery.
Good morning. Thank you.
And as we are now in the month of February, this must be the biggest month of the year for you in the floral business.
Well, it's not actually the biggest month. December is our biggest month, but definitely Valentine by far is the biggest single day of the year for us. It's really a huge holiday when a lot of people like to buy flowers, and all I can suggest is order them early. This year is going to be tough. It's 2 days right after Mardi Gras. So Mardi Gras is on the 12th, Valentine's on the 14th. That's going to be a challenge. No one's going to be thinking of flowers. Days before, they're going to be thinking of parades.
you have a couple of locations down in the greater New Orleans area, don't you?
We do. We have one in Metairie and one in Covington.
Yeah. Well, how was this sales tax proposal from Governor Jindal affect you as a business person?
Yeah, as a business person, I think it's a very good idea to look at it, consider it. You have to see the final details, but I think it would offer the state an exciting opportunity to create atmosphere, to create new jobs, create growth in our business sector. People with higher incomes, I know a number of people who have, look seriously at Louisiana, but then when they look at Texas and Florida without the income taxes, and that's significant. And so, we've lost a lot of headquarters, especially from the metro New Orleans area, have moved to Texas over the last number of years. And we have to be competitive with the people in our region. So I think it's something that's real important. And, there's a large base of people that pay no taxes at all. And sales taxes will gather some of those people, because when they go buy things, whether they buy a vehicle or they buy appliances or whatever, they're going to have to be paying sales taxes when they go to the company. So,
all right, hold that thought. Now, if I were to order a dozen roses for you to deliver somewhere,
right,
cost me what, about $100 maybe?
Well, our roses run right now today $65. They'll probably go up for Valentine's Day.
All right, you go up, and then you got the delivery cost, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So around $100, probably.
Yeah. All right.
So now if I have an increase in sales taxes, let's say it's 15%, and that's $115.
Well, I don't think it's you're not going to go up to 15%. I think they're talking about going up a penny or two, and so we already have a sales tax in New Orleans. It's a little bit higher than in Jefferson Parish. I think Jefferson Parish 8.75, and in New Orleans it's 9%. So if it went to 10.5%, that's not a large increase in cost.
Okay, 297-5633 is your number for Roger Villery. He is the chair of the Louisiana Republican Party, and in Charlotte, North Carolina, was named, actually reelected, as vice chair of the Republican National Committee.
Right, I was elected to a full two-year term. I had been elected to fill a partial term from one of the gentlemen that went off the RNC after the national convention, National Committee man from Florida who had been serving in that position for a number of years, and I was elected to fill out the rest of his term, and then I was elected for a full two-year term at the last RNC meeting.
Well, before we get to the governor and his appearance in Charlotte, the Vice President of the United States was in New Orleans last weekend, and you didn't send him any flowers, did you?
I did not, you know, and I should have sent him some flowers and welcomed him and spent some money. Although I had to go to the airport to pick up some flowers, and they shut down all the roads, so that was an amazing thing. I said, "Here we go, we got our Vice President stopping me from picking my flowers up at the airport because they had everything shut down for his motorcade."
Do you really think he's trying to take away your guns?
Yes, I really do, and I'm really disappointed with that. I think the Second Amendment is very important for the United States. I think it's one of our basic rights, and I think there's something that they're tampering with, and I'm very concerned with that.
Okay, 297-5633 if you'd like to engage Roger Villery, the chair of the Louisiana GOP. In Louisiana, will any member of the delegation, including Senator Landrieu, will any member support any kind of revision to gun rights?
Well, I don't know. I would hope that she wouldn't support that. I don't think any of the Republicans, talking to all of them, are in any way going to support taking away our gun rights. Senator Landrieu has kind of a mixed bag with that. For the most part, she has supported our basic gun rights. But, you know, that's something that we're going to have to wait and see. I'm hoping that she doesn't weaken the rights we have in the United States.
You noted in one of your releases that she had a C rating from the NRA, and you said
Correct.
That was not acceptable.
Well, I don't think it's acceptable. I think, you know, we should be very strong with our gun rights. I think it's important. I think the Second Amendment is extremely important to the health of our country and the long-term growth of our country.
297-5633, and we'll go to the phone lines in a moment with Sir Roger Villery, the chair of the Louisiana GOP. How many years have you held this post now, Roger?
8 years.
8 years. So you've seen some comings and goings, including that of a Democratic governor.
Correct.
Governor Jindal, of course, has 3 years left on term number two, and now there are rumblings that U.S. Senator David Vitter is waiting in the wings to run for governor of Louisiana. He's from your neck of the woods, another man whose last name starts with V. Will V for Vitter spell V for victory come 2015 when he apparently will run for governor of Louisiana?
Well, I don't think he's announced he's going to run for governor, but he has talked about it, and that's one option that he is keeping open. You know, he is growing in stature in the Senate, and he's working on some good committees, and I think that's a decision he's going to make within a reasonable amount of time, but I think that's something he is looking at. But we have a number of people who have, had thoughts about running for governor, but it's a couple of years away.
Paul Anopoulosis. Paul, good morning to you. You're on with Roger Villery.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Missed you in your absence the other day. Your replacement did a great job.
Thank you.
All right. Just a question to Mr. Villa and to yourself, Jim. Two parts. I'm not in favor of anybody, taking anybody guns or anything like that. You have the right to be responsible for it, be responsible. I think, though, we do need to have a good discussion on responsible gun ownership, really good responsible gun ownership, just as in fact of a car, of a boat, of a residence, and how do we get to that if we don't have open discussion? And I want your guests to maybe give a couple of suggestions on the open discussion of it. Second, on the sales tax, I'm from San Andreas Parish. We're right now right at 10% on the sales tax. How much, what would be the added on tax to that? If the sales tax came to fruition and the property tax, income tax went away, would the state sales tax start at the 10% of the local area, or would the local go back down to some reasonable rate and then come back up?
Roger?
Well, on the sales tax, they're still working out all the details. I think that that's something that we don't know the exact numbers yet, because it depends how much they increase it, and whether they increase some other what they call sin taxes, things on cigarettes and things, and whether they increase the base, whether it would be some things. There's a lot of exemptions on sales tax now, for a lot of services and things that aren't taxed. Should some of those be taxed on a statewide level? That's the things that they're discussing and trying to work with, and I don't think they've come to a conclusion on any of that yet. That's what the legislature is meeting about now. That's what they're having hearings on. They're meeting with the leadership. Those are all. But I know that we just don't want to pile a huge number on top. We, you know, we're not going to go from a 4%, you know, to a 8 or 9% state sales tax. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be some type of reasonable increase, and it's something that would be spread out across the board. And they are going to protect people that are not making a lot of money. But they're going to exclude things like food that you buy at a grocery store, like medicine, like home utilities, things to where people in the lower economic end wouldn't be affected. You know, you wouldn't be adding burden to them, because really they don't have the money to pay for that.
Are you sure about that?
From my understanding, everyone I've talked to, those exemptions are planning on being there. Now, the actual legislation hasn't been finalized yet, and there's all kind of negotiations going on. So, if something is put in and it's negotiated, we haven't actually seen the final bill. We haven't seen everything that they even are going to present to the legislature. So right now everything is in negotiation. But the negotiations that I'm privy to and that I've been talked about is, they've assured me that food and medicine and home utilities would not be included.
And downtown, hi, Ann, you're on with Roger Villery.
Yes. I wanted to express my disappointment in Mr. Villery's statements about Joe Biden not being welcome in Louisiana because of his position on gun control. I think that the proposals on making more background checks and on restricting the amount of ammunition are very, very moderate. I have concern myself about the ban on assault weapons, but you know, as Bobby Jindal said, we can't be stupid. We can't be the stupid party, and we can't not have intelligent discussions. And I thought it was extremely childish for Mr. Villery to make statements that Joe Biden wasn't even welcome in Louisiana. If Mr. Villery was a leader, he would invite Mr. Biden here and have an open and frank discussion about it.
All right. What do you think? Thank you, Ann. Roger.
I'd love to have an open and frank discussion with Mr. Biden and Mr. Obama, but they're not doing that. They're just they're coming out with legislation, and the president is making presidential decisions without going to the legislature, signing 20 or 30 different issuing different presidential edicts on what he wants done, and not even going to talk about it, not even bringing in whether it's Democrats or Republicans and getting different sides of it. So, I'm not disappointed that Biden's coming to Louisiana. I'm disappointed in Biden's position on our Second Amendment, and that's just taking away our rights to bear arms. And I think you have to be real careful when you start restricting it, who can have what and who's able to own and possess firearms, because it's a slippery slope then, the way they take them all away. And how do you enforce when there's tens of millions of firearms? And, do you go in to people's homes and take that now? I think it'd be more important to enforce some of the laws they have now. Every month, tens of thousands of people apply to buy firearms, and a lot of those people are rejected because they're not eligible. They're not legal citizens. They were convicted felons or other reasons, and yet they don't even prosecute them.
297-5633, your number. Inkster Show at WRKF.org is available for discussion online. And Roger Villery, the chair of the Louisiana Republican Party, will return with us after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Engster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Roger Villery, chair of the Louisiana Republican Party, is with us, and we will return to the phone lines in just a moment. But I wanted to refresh our memory about Governor Jindal's speech in Charlotte, North Carolina, a few days ago to the Republican National Committee, and Roger Villery was at his side, and he was the first person acknowledged by Governor Jindal. Here's how, Kevin, the governor sounded in his address to the RNC in Charlotte, North Carolina. You got it? Governor Bobby Jindal, let's go.
We've got to stop being the stupid party. And I'm serious, it's time for a new Republican Party that talks like adults. It's time for us to articulate our plans and our visions for America in real terms. It's no secret we had a number of Republicans that damaged the brand this year with offensive and bizarre comments. I'm here to say we've had enough of that.
All right. And Donald Trump, of all people, responded somewhat negatively to the governor's remarks.
Well, I thought when Bobby Jindal used the word stupid party, that there was a disgusting word for him to use, because now it just played right into the Democrats' hands. I mean, they're going to use it. I have heard that that word used now by Democrats for the last 3 days since he issued it. I thought it was a disgusting and a horrible thing for him to say, to use that term. That term is going to be used by the Democrats to a fare thee well. And the Republicans just don't seem to get it.
Roger Villery, do you get it?
What do you mean, do I get it?
Well,
I don't understand what you mean.
The governor used the term stupid party, and it has been repeated a few times, probably more than a few, by foes of the GOP. Has he crafted a message for the other side?
Well, I think the other side's always looking for anything that they can pick up that they can twist and turn into a negative term. I think the governor was stating that he wants us to do a better job of articulating our ideas, getting the message out. And really what he wanted to say, and I think that the message that he was delivering was that, you know, we need to concentrate where we do the best, and that's in the states. We believe in having strong states' rights. We believe in building our state. We have 30 governors right now. We have 24 states where both the legislatures are controlled by Republicans. We need to lead by example. We need to do a good job and help our state economies build up. And we need to concentrate on that. President Obama won the election. He's going to do what he wants to do on a national level. We have to work with him where we can, and we have to things that are completely we think are completely wrong for the country. We need to oppose him on that, but we need to try and work with the president to lead the country forward and do what we could where we can be. I think the best and most effective Governor Jindal was saying is that we need to work in the states. You know, he is chairman of the Republican Governors Association. So he was talking from the perspective of being head of the Governors Association, and he thinks that we need to concentrate and spend our time and energy on building up states.
All right, hold tight. We'll go to Chet at LSU. Chet, you're on with Roger Villery. Hi, Chet.
Hi. Mr. Villery, you spoke earlier about broadening the tax base for the sales tax, and I think it's important that we talk about what that means. Currently, energy and gas and food are exempt from sales tax. So, are you suggesting that we tax those the same way that we tax things like appliances, wouldn't that affect the people at the bottom where those necessities are what they're spending their money on the most?
He cut out. I couldn't understand my phone.
Well,
he cut out. I couldn't understand
what he was
saying.
He was fine on this end, but he was asking about the sales tax affecting those who are least well off.
And that's the thing is we want to make sure they're not. We don't want to add sales tax to food. We don't want to add sales tax to home utilities. We don't want to add sales tax to affect the people who can at least afford it. But you do have to broaden the base. You have to look at some services that possibly aren't paying paying sales tax now. So that's some of the things that would be on the table, you know.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on with Roger Villery. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Mr. Villery. Do you believe that Ronald and Nancy Reagan were wrong when they came out in support of the Brady gun control legislation?
You know, the Brady gun control legislation was a time in history. I think we have to be very careful when we're looking emotionally at something that happened because of a short-term emotional happening, something that is, you know, if there's a bad car crash, do we ban all cars? If the bad airplane crash, do we ban all airplanes? You know, we have bad people in this world, and bad people going to get a hold of items to cause bad things. And if you know, you have to work with individuals. You have to work with people. And there's no way to ban every item that could cause some type of harm to people. It's just an impossible thing. But I think the good of guns outweigh the bad. And I just think it's important that we keep our Second Amendment rights in the United States. I just think it's very important.
877-217-5757, wherever you are, for Roger Villery, chair of the Louisiana GOP. Yesterday, Chuck Hagel, President Obama's nominee to be Secretary of Defense, faced some intense questioning, sometimes angry inquiries from fellow Republicans, especially Senator John McCain, once his best friend. It was a contentious start to a confirmation hearing that could go either way for the 66-year-old Hagel, former senator from Nebraska and a decorated Vietnam vet. What's your assessment of his fitness or lack thereof to be Secretary of Defense, Roger Villery?
Well, I really, you know, that being a state chairman and they're having these discussions on a national level, I think we need to let all the interviews play out. I would hate to make a decision and give you my opinion on that right now, because really at this point, I think they're still in the middle of all the hearings, and we need to let it go and see if you know, obviously the president has the right to appoint who he wants, but the Senate has to confirm it, and they need to ask him tough questions, and if they feel satisfied that he can do the job, then they need to accept him. If they don't, then they need to reject him. But I think it's too early to make that decision yet. I think he needs to go through the process. And it's a good process. It's not bad to get good, tough questions and see if he can and give the answers. You know, some answers people think that were very weak yesterday. Other answers, you know, obviously he has a good background. He'd been in the Senate a long time. He knows what's going on nationally, has a good record when he was in the military. So there's a lot of positives. But on the other hand, you know, is he the kind of person we want to serve in that position? That's a decision that the Senate's going to have to make. And I think they're looking at it very strongly, and they're going to make that decision. You know, I think that people are open-minded about it. But he should be able to answer tough questions. That's the job of the Senate, to ask tough questions.
All right. Donna in North Baton Rouge asks Roger if you have a preference as far as the next governor of Louisiana.
I do not. You know, it's still early. We have a number of times to go on that. And at this point, I really do not have a preference. I think that there's a lot of people who have put their name up, and we need to look at them and make those decisions on who would be the best person when it gets closer at the time.
Will you run?
Oh, will I run? No, I will not run.
Well, you ran for lieutenant governor.
I did. I ran for lieutenant governor. I thought that was a job that had been perfect for me. It's something to represent the state, to go out and meet and bring people in. I've been real active with our local chamber of commerce. I've been active on many boards and commissions. Matter of fact, I just got through serving on the Bicentennial Commission. It was an honor to do that and recognize our state. And right now I have just been appointed to the Battle New Orleans Commission, and I'm proud to serve our state in that capacity and represent them for the bicentennial of the Battle of New Orleans, which will be coming up in 1815. So, you know, I love doing that and representing the state in that position, but, you know, at this time I have no interest in putting my name up to run for governor.
I think the bicentennial is coming up in 2015.
2015. I'm sorry, what did I say?
1815. That was.
That was when it happened. 1815. So 2015 will be the bicentennial.
Well, Roger Villery, what about Governor Jindal's quest for the presidency? Is it apparent that he's going to run?
Well, I don't think anything's apparent. I think that the Governor Jindal is doing a commendable job as governor of Louisiana. He is working very hard. It's something he likes to do. He loves serving as governor. And he has a job as the head of the Republican Governors Association. I think that's something that he's working hard on there. So I think his options for the future are unlimited. And at this time, I don't believe he's made any decisions to run for higher office.
Sure looks like he's running.
He's doing his job as head of the Republican Governors Association, really.
That's all he's doing?
You know, that to me, that's all he's doing. You know, he's doing the job he's asked to do, and I think he's doing a good job. I think he's working very hard. You know, we're real proud of him.
Well, the governor, unlike you, refrains from local programs, local being Louisiana shows like this one, but he's often on Fox News and in the national media. How do you explain that, or can you?
Well, that's something you'll have to talk to the governor about. You know, I go on local news, and I've been on national news, and I've been on international news. I've been interviewed by stations from all around the world, from France, England, Spain. I've been on Al Jazeera. I've been on many stations in my position as a member of the RNC and as RNC vice chairman. And I try and do, when I can fit it in, requests, whether it's local or national or international. So, the governor has his own decision on what stations and what he would like to do, and that's something you'd have to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And
How was your experience with Al Jazeera?
It was very interesting. I was interviewed myself and the chairman of the Texas Republican Party. And, you know, they said that they probably had half a billion people listening to us. So that was very interesting.
Half a billion?
That's what they told us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. Yeah, it's a huge worldwide station who reaches throughout.
Well, we're on the World Wide Web, and anybody who's listening at WRKF.org, as they are in many places around the country and sometimes around the world, invited to call 877-217-5757 in our remaining time with Roger Villery, chair of the Louisiana GOP, and also the vice chairman of the Republican National Committee. What about next year, Mary Landrieu running for re-election? Are you going to target her with a vengeance?
Well, we would like a Republican senator. I think that...
You have one in David Vitter. You want another one?
We do. Yes, we do. We would like another one. We'd like a second Republican senator. And really, one of the main reasons is that she votes for the Harry Reid as leadership. And I don't think he's the best leader we could have. He's someone that hasn't even voted on or put up or discussed on the Senate floor a budget in over 4 years. Really, we haven't even... The iPad was invented in that period of time. Wasn't even an iPad. The last time we had a budget in the United States, he's not following the law, and he's not doing the right thing. I don't like his leadership, and I really think that we need someone that would vote for new leadership.
So it's about Harry Reid.
Well, I think it's about Louisiana, too. You want someone that'll represent you in a better way. I think that there's a number of people who would do that.
Well, and of course, Harry Reid represents a state where prostitution is legal. Imagine that in Louisiana. Laney on Essen. Laney, good morning. You're on with Roger Villery.
Hi. I realize that y'all are talking about prostitution now, so I might be a little bit off topic. But I just wanted to go back to gun control. You know, Roger, you said that we can't ban airplanes and we can't ban cars, but those have absolutely nothing to do with gun control. You're trying to equate things that weren't created to kill with something that is created to kill. Guns only if they're used improperly, don't kill. Guns are solely created to harm. You can't equate the two things. And it's really interesting as well what you say about taxes, because if the Democratic Party had done the same thing, you would totally be against it. But since it's the Republican Party trying to raise taxes in one form or another, you're all for it.
All right. Would you respond, Roger?
Yeah, we're really not trying to raise taxes at all. We're trying to spread them out over a larger base. There are a number of people who are paying no taxes right now, but they don't pay income tax. There's a large underground economy. There are people that are undocumented workers, not paying anything. And yet the people who are creating jobs, we're taxing them, and we're causing those job creators to move to other states. We're moving industry. We've lost a number of our Fortune 500 companies have moved out of the state of Louisiana because of the large taxes we have. As the saying, if you want something less of something, tax it. And by taxing people who are the most successful at these high rates, you chase them to other places where they don't have those taxes. If we can spread the taxes out, create new business, create new wealth, and I think it would be better for the state of Louisiana. It would be better for our growth. What's the best thing we can do? And that's create jobs, create opportunity, lower our unemployment.
Albert Samuels, Professor Samuels from Southern University. Hi, Albert. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning to Mr. Villery. Mr. Villery, I just thought it was rather humorous to listen to Governor Jindal counsel Republicans nationally about not being, quote-unquote, the stupid party when we look at the governor's record here in Louisiana. I mean, this governor inherited a $2 billion surplus, turned into a deficit. We have cut $625 million out of higher ed at a time when education is more important than it's ever been. Public health is a disaster.
All right. Well, we're short on time, but is the Jindal record a good one, Roger Villery?
Well, I think the Jindal record's a solid record. I think it's a record that we've been through a tremendous economy. It's been tough in the state. It's been tough nationally. We've had a number of major disasters that have come through, the BP oil spill, a number of hurricanes that have been really hard to deal with. The governor has worked really hard to work through those. And I think he's done an excellent job working with the situation he had and with all the happenings that have gone on.
Judy on Highway 44. Judy, quickly, you're on with Roger Villery.
Okay, I respectfully disagree with some of your points, sir, because part of the problem that you're running into in Louisiana, you've got a bright flight. A lot of kids tend to leave because the job market is just not good here. And a lot of the companies that are Fortune 500, they're leaving because of the cronyism and nepotism and having to deal with kickbacks with politicians. So the biggest thing we have to deal with is stop that. And it's time to get better politicians in office, which comes from the governor down.
All right, we'll return with Roger Villery, wrap it up with him, and then we'll hear from Professor Jensen Moore of the LSU Manship School, who follows social marketing, and we will talk with her about the Super Bowl after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. We're wrapping it up with Roger Villery, chair of the Louisiana GOP, who's graciously spending time with us. He's a busy man running two florists, and we're 13 days from Valentine's Day. Roger Villery.
Well, and we're in the middle of the Super Bowl.
That's
so
right.
You got to remember, we've been pretty busy.
I suspect so. Probably have people from all over the world at
all
your,
over
at
the
your
world.
Florist.
I think it's such a great thing for Louisiana to have the Super Bowl in New Orleans and have people come, and they're staying all over the state. Baton Rouge, the hotels are filled, home of Thibodeau area are filled, all the way to Lafayette, the North Shore. Is over 98% filled, the hotel rooms there. And it's an exciting opportunity to showcase some of the best with our music and food and culture here in Louisiana, and it's an exciting time.
Well, you love Louisiana, no doubt about it. And one thing I must commend President Bush for, he was always quick to comment that Democrats and Republicans probably love the country as much as
absolutely.
One side loves it as much as the other, but we often demonize the other side. And in your case, I wanted you to respond to Judy on Highway 44, who asked about the quality of elected officials as we went to the break. Do we have elected officials who are the guiding lights they should be?
You know, I work with elected officials every day, and 99.9% of them are some of the best people. They hard workers. They give a lot of their time, give a lot of their effort to their communities. You always have a small percentage that are not the quality people you want, and I think we have to root them out. If they're doing something illegal, we need to have them arrested and convicted. And if they're just not doing a good job, we need to vote them out of office. It doesn't matter if they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian. Doesn't matter what they are. They shouldn't be in office if they're not doing a good job. That it's always the small minority of people that give elected officials a bad name. But really, the majority of men and women who serve our state are really quality people. And that's in both parties. They're really quality and try hard. I don't agree with a lot of the ideas of the Democratic Party, but they really mean well, and they're trying to do it, for the most part, I think, what they believe is the right thing. So.
All right, Roger, we got a roll here, but I wanted to wish you well and happy Super Bowl, happy Valentine's, and we'll
Thank
talk
you.
Soon, and good luck to you this year. Thank you,
okay,
sir.
Okay, great.
Appreciate
good
it.
Talking to you.
Nice
Bye.
Talking to you, Roger Villa, chair of the Louisiana GOP. And we're joined in studio now by Jensen Moore, Professor Moore of the LSU Manship School. You've been there how long now?
1 year now.
1 year, and last year you were with us right around Super Bowl time, and she is an expert on social marketing, and I also worked for the Grand Rapids Hoops professional basketball team at one point. What was your capacity there?
I was the public relations and the community relations director.
Well, that was quite an experience, and of course, we're talking about the grandest stage of all this week, this Sunday in New Orleans at the Superdome as San Francisco and Baltimore play in Super Bowl 47. Mm-hmm. The average 30-second commercial is expected to be $3.8 million. In 1967, when the Super Bowl began, the average cost was $40,000. What happened?
Well, what happened is that the networks found out that the demographic watching the Super Bowl isn't just your typical demographic that watches the rest of the football games during the year, which are, you know, men age, 18 to 60. They found out that everybody watches the Super Bowl, so the bigger the audience, the more money that they can charge.
And there are some studies showing that about a quarter of the people who watch more for the commercials than for the game.
Yes, it is. We get to view advertising with a little bit of football in between.
Well, as a 30-second spot, could it be worth $3.8 million?
Well, it is in terms of how much buzz that these companies can get, how much audience that they can get. I believe the breakdown for this year, they're estimating about 111 million people watching the game. It trickles down to a cost per thousand of about $34. So, I mean, yes, they're paying $3.8 million, but that's $34 per person to reach those people. And so it is a cost-effective way of advertising.
But most companies in America don't have annual budgets of $3.8 million, and you have to be in the big leagues to
You do have to be in the
Super
big
Bowl.
Leagues. And that's why we're going to see, the same standard ads that we see every year. We're going to see the car companies. We're going to see the beer companies. We're going to see the snacks, the soda and chips, the big names. Mm-hmm. We're not going to see any, breakthrough small companies.
Jensen Moore is with us, professor of mass communication at Louisiana State University, and now there's buzz about the commercials before they even play.
Yes. There's kind of two thoughts on Super Bowl advertising. And one is a frequency model. And there's a standard kind of rule of three. You have to see an ad three times in order to remember it. And so there are companies that are releasing the ad before the Super Bowl, so you get to that three by the time it airs on the Super Bowl, and you're more likely to remember it. And then there's the other school of thought that thinks that the online buzz actually decreases the game day impact. And so you'll see those two philosophies play out. It's been playing out actually for 2 weeks online. People have already started, you know, Googling and finding Super Bowl ads and watching the ones that they can. And then there's the other companies who are withholding their ads until game day. And so it's interesting to see which ones kind of get the bigger bang for their buck.
Well, the ad from Volkswagen is generating the most interest before the game. Are you following that controversy?
I am. They're talking about whether or not that ad is racist. They have various people in the ad speaking with Jamaican accents, and none of the people speaking are Jamaican. And so are there a lot of people saying that it's making fun of Jamaicans, the way that they talk, their culture? And so CBS is, I think... looking to pull that ad for this weekend. It's on a list right now of the ones that are going to be banned.
It is going to be banned?
I think they're talking about it.
Really?
But there are seven others that they've already decided they're pulling from the lineup.
And what do those contain?
The biggest one that they're pulling is Pornhub. And not because of the content of the ad. The content of the ad is, you know, two sweet little old people sitting on a park bench, but just basically because it's a porn company. And so they're pulling that ad simply based on the content of the organization. The other ones that they're pulling, there's a Snickers, which features a kiss between two men. So they're pulling that ad. They're pulling a Bud Light ad for an apology bot that hands out a beer to a woman as an apology. There's a SodaStream ad that's been pulled that features Coke and Pepsi in a competition. And then there's obviously the Volkswagen ad they're talking about. There's a Taco Bell ad that people are saying is anti-vegetarian. And so they're pulling...
Doesn't this smack of censorship?
It does, but, you know, we've seen censorship over the years in the CBS and and especially in the Super Bowl ads.
Well, and they're very sensitive about the Super Bowl because of this wardrobe malfunction 10 years ago or 9 years ago with Janet Jackson.
They want to make sure that it's family viewing time, and who wants to explain, you know, an SI model getting high schoolers to wash her car to your children?
Are we being overly sensitive, though?
You know, somewhat, but again, there's kids watching the Super Bowl, and you can't edit what they see.
But network television now is full of images that I didn't see when I was a kid.
No, that's true, and full of words that we didn't once hear, you know, that used to be on that list of seven that Carlin talks about, and now we're hearing them.
Yeah, George Carlin got arrested once for using one of those seven words in Milwaukee. Whoever arrested him, I think it was 1972, they obviously were not at the Bill Maher event earlier this week in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number for Jensen Moore, professor at LSU. Now, this ad from Volkswagen, which may or may not be pulled, has been showing online since Monday and has become a social media buzzsaw. Some folks like it. Some critics trash it. Kevin, do we have it?
I hate Mondays.
Yeah, they're the worst.
No worries, man. Everything will be all right.
Yeah, man.
Don't fret me, brother. Sticky bun comes soon. Yeah. Wicked coffee, Mr. Jim. Julia, turn the frown the other way around.
Hey, Dave, you're from Minnesota, right?
Yes, I. The land of 10,000 lakes. The Gopher State.
So in conclusion, things are pretty dismal.
You know what this room needs? A smile. Who wanna come with I?
Traveling along, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
You guys are 3 minutes late.
Don't be no cloud on a sunny day.
Yeah, chill, Winston.
Sir?
Respect, bossman.
We'll make you happy.
That's the power of German engineering.
Yeah, there's something for everybody in that. It even has the theme from the Partridge Family. Can you imagine that? What do you think, Jensen?
I think it's a cute ad. It's certainly one that has generated a lot of online buzz for Volkswagen. And I think because it's controversial, they're getting a lot of, you know, remarks about it. And, you know, people fighting back and saying, you know, it's not racist. It's not, you know, it's just a fun commercial with the playoff of Come On, Get Happy.
It's pretty horrific, says Ricky Fairley Brown in a USA Today interview. She is president of the multicultural marketing agency Dove Marketing. Why do they have a white guy from Minnesota faking a Jamaican accent, she asked. And also expressing dismay is Rochelle Newman Carrasco, chief Hispanic marketing strategist at Walton Isaacson, an African-American, gay, lesbian, and Hispanic agency. What happens in this ad is that the culture becomes a punchline, and that is offensive. So people, they like ads or don't like them for various reasons. But to pull it, CBS, I would think anybody in the news organization would be shaking their heads about censoring something like this. We do have the First Amendment in this country.
We do, but it's surprising as to what does get played and what doesn't get played. You know, we've got the half-naked swimsuit models that we're going to see in ads again this year. You know, GoDaddy gets played, and nobody knew what GoDaddy was a couple years ago. You know, it was a web hosting company. I would argue that that was very close to a porn ad, and yet that got played. And so to see that Pornhub gets pulled when they don't have anything racy in their ad, and yet GoDaddy gets played because they're a web company, it's a weird line that CBS is walking here.
So what happens if one of these ads gets pulled? I suspect there's somebody waiting in the wings with another $3.8 million to fill the void.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We get to see a couple new ads this year. We get to see Gildan Athleticwear, which is a Canadian company, try to break into the U.S. market. And we're seeing some funny ads from Century 21 this year. This is the second year that they're going to be in the Super Bowl. And so, you know, some other companies trying to, you know, spend their budgets and get in. One of the ones we're not going to see this year, though, surprisingly, is Apple. Apple is not doing any ads, so that's going to lend some airtime to Samsung and BlackBerry, which just dropped a new product.
And Apple's gone from about $700 a share to $450, and Monday we'll hear from Andy Apple Anderson about what's happened to Apple as far as an investment prospect. Now, Katie says that some of these celebrities who try to get on television during the Super Bowl and other major events, they make her want to puke because she's tired of seeing James Carville at every major event. I suspect at some point Sunday we're going to see the Raging Cajun in the crowd, on the field, somewhere we're going to see James Carville.
Oh, definitely. He makes his presence known.
And we'll probably see Bobby Jindal, who is not a football fan. Let's face it, he doesn't like football. But yet he'll be at the Superdome and probably will be he'll get some FaceTime before over 100 million people.
Well, I'd say anybody who's interested in, you know, campaigning and getting their face out there is going to try to do that.
Well, it's a cultural event like no other, and it's in a city that is appropriate for these kinds of things.
Oh, definitely.
And it should be a good game.
It should be a good game. Entertainment value. You know, you've got New Orleans, you've got the ads, you've got the two Harbaugh brothers going at it. It's going to be a good game.
You know
game.
Your stuff. The two. Who do you like? Who's going to win?
Well, I'm an oldest, so I'm going with the older Jim Harbaugh.
Are you?
John Harbaugh, sorry.
The one who's
the older Harbaugh brother,
coach
John.
Of the Ravens, who's only a year older, but he's got his team going well, and we shall see. This could be the Nancy Pelosi Super Bowl. She was born in Baltimore. Her father was the mayor there. There's a street named in her honor in Italian town in Baltimore, and yet she represents San Francisco. So maybe we'll see Nancy Pelosi, the former Speaker of the House, on the field. But I bet she'll be rooting for San Francisco. And Tom Benson apparently is taking care of the Louisiana lawmakers who desire to go to the game. He knows where his bread is buttered. He will be, I suspect we'll see Tom Benson as well. I have a feeling that he will be a presence at the game come Sunday. But You know, last time San Francisco was in New Orleans to play for a Super Bowl, Jensen, was 1990, 23 years ago, and the score was 55-10. It was one of the lowest-rated Super Bowls ever because people were tuning out because the game had gotten out of control so quickly. Joe Montana threw for 5 touchdowns. It helps when it's a close game.
Yes, it does. It helps when there's, you know, two teams actually battling on the field, but like I said, a lot of people are turning in for the ads. So,
well, what happens if you spend $3.8 million and you want your ad in the fourth quarter when everybody's watching and the score is 55-10 in the fourth quarter? Chances are you're not getting the attention that you desire to.
No, and that's where we've kind of seen that, again, that trickle off of the audience. That's why some of the companies have started airing their ads early, so they know whether or not it's a blowout game. You know, people are going to see it on YouTube or passed around on Facebook, and so they're counting on that word of mouth to get the views that they need.
So give us a score.
Oh, my gosh. I'm gonna go 32-24.
So that'd be 56 points. The over-under's 48. So you heard it from Jensen Moore here. 32-24 Baltimore, which is a 3.5-point underdog. We shall see. We'll talk about it Monday. Until then, for Kevin, I'm Jim. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.